Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. We are focusing today on Perek Lamed Zayin, the 37th chapter of Sefer Yeshayahu. Today, the topic is the vanquishing of Sancheriv. So much of Yeshayahu's nevuahs have been focusing around this actual episode that occurs, and the episode is about to unfold today, where Sancheriv is finally vanquished. So here's how it goes. Chizkiyahu has received news from his messengers, his emissaries, who went outside and confronted Rav Shakeh. Rav Shakeh taunted them and shouted at them. They return and they tell Chizkiyahu this terrible curse that's happened, and Chizkiyahu then turns and sends them as messengers to Yeshayahu, his master, Yeshayahu, his prophet. And he tears his own clothes because of hearing it, and he says the following. He sends the message which goes as follows. This is a terrible day for the Jewish people. The children have come to a terrible point, to the crisis, or really to the birthing stone, but there's no birth. Meaning to say, they don't have the strength to even get through these chavlei Mashiach, to these chavalim, these terrible, terrible contractions that they're going through. Ula yishma Hashem elokecha estirei Rav Shakeh. Perhaps God will be able to hear the words of Rav Shakeh. It is so shocking when you read this to realize that Chizkiyahu is reaching out to Yeshayahu, and the way he says it is that it's not that we're even worthy ourselves of salvation, that we don't have the credit for. But maybe Hashem will be able to hear it on his behalf because of the terrible Chilul Hashem which Rav Shakeh has created by cursing Hashem and has not been a response by the gates of Yerushalayim. And even that is ulai, even that is maybe, perhaps, Rav Shakeh will respond. This is the degree to which Chizkiyahu is submitting himself, the degree which he feels unworthy of any salvation or intervention. What is Yeshayahu's response? Yeshayahu's response very clearly tells the servants to return to Chizkiyahu Melech and says very explicitly, Don't worry about the Asher Gidfu Nari Melech Asher, these lads, these young men cursing you because you know what, I'm gonna send them back. They're gonna have business to go back to their land. Yes, Rav Shakeh is going to have to go fight back in Assyria because there's going to be an attack from Tarhakamel, the king of Cush, who's going to attack Assyria, and he's going to have to go back and deal with his own business. So that's what he says. Don't worry about the curses that is going to be laid upon you because it's all going to diffuse. And that's what happens. The books are sent back to, the message is sent back to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu reads it and went up to the Beis Hashem and prays in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He spreads out his hands and he prays. What does he pray? He says, Hashem, please, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Yosheva Krufim. He says, Hashem, you're the one who are in charge of all the mamlachos, all the dynasties on earth. Hatei Hashem Oznecho Shema, please tilt your ears and listen. Open your eyes to everything Sancheriv has sent and his curses. He's destroyed. He says, Omnam Hashem, Hechirivu Malchei Ashuris, Kol Aratzoi Saris Aratzom. They have destroyed everybody around here. They've destroyed everyone who's been in the surroundings. Atah Shonakenu Hoshienum Yadai. Please save us. Let all the other nations know that you are the only power. And so Yeshayahu sends him back a requisite message. And he says to Yechizkiel, don't worry. I've heard what your prayer, and I'm going to do this. I am going to save Bastion, the daughter of Zion. I'm going to send away those who curse from you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani karti v'shasisi mayim v'achriv b'chaf kapamai kol yarei matzar. I'm going to destroy all the sieges. I rearranged this from time immemorial that this should happen. And he says, and you want to know how to be sure of this? Well, this is going to be the sign. You know what you should do is, you're going to be able to eat this year, sofiach, which is the emerging grain. Because you know what? The way that Sancheriv came, he will return. He will never enter the city. I'm going to save it for my sake and for the sake of David. Obviously, inference meaning not for your sake and not for the sake of your generation, who may not necessarily be warranting it. And that is exactly what happens. The Perek closes by describing a Malach Hashem, which emerges and destroys the camp of 185,000 soldiers that night, all of them dead in the morning. Sancheriv returns to his land, to Nineveh, And there he is, when he is serving his gods, his son kill him, and they in turn fight, and there's internal fighting as to who takes the kingdom afterwards. This is the end of the parak, and that's the incredible miracle which is being described. A few things just to notice over here, in terms of the general structure of the parak. Why is Chizkiyahu davening after he's told about his salvation? So it seems from the basic pshat over here, the way it's laid out, at least in Sefer Yeshayahu, is that at the beginning he was told that Rav Shakeh would go back to Assyria to deal with the business of Tarheka, the king of Cush. But that doesn't mean to say that they won't come back again. So Chizkiyahu begs and says, please destroy them, do something more because of the terrible curses they brought to you. And that's exactly what happens. Sanherib returns later on, after they've dealt with the people from Cush. Ultimately, they come back, and that's when this miracle occurs. There's two separate sieges. Chizkiyahu's tefillah is about the second siege, to destroy them completely. And that's what Yeshayahu promises him. What is exactly the sign he's talking about? Going out and eating these emerging crops? So the Ralbag, Gersonides, points out that Chizkiyahu probably had doubt in his heart. Chizkiyahu was probably a little scared of this being an ultimate thing. He's seen Rav Shakeh go, and he's seen the army come back. So who's to say this is not going to be just another excursion and a return to the same power that they have to be submissive to, the same fears that they had to go to sleep to at every night? So Ralbag says, if this is going to end and you're going to be able to go out of the city and eat peacefully this year, that is the sign that this is done, you're finished. That means to say you no longer will have to deal with these problems anymore. And that seems to be what is happening. Yeah, of course, if we take into account the Malbim's idea that certain signs can actually affect the Nevuah to be crystallized in an irrevocable way, this of course adds to it as well. So there's a few other things just to focus on when looking at this parak, and that is what exactly actually happened. So when you go to the historian's side of it, so if you look in Josephus's recounting of this in Antiquities in book 10, section 1, paragraph 5, he describes, this is his words, when Sanherib was returning from his Egyptian war to Jerusalem, he found his army under Rav Shakeh, his general, in danger by a plague. For God had sent a pestilential distemper upon his army, and on the very first night of the siege, a hundred 5,000 with their captains and generals were destroyed. So here's a recounting of this, is that there was actually pestilence, which is a very fascinating interpretation. The way the Radak suggests happened is that they were incinerated internally. I mean, this is a supernatural death. It was like the Leil Pesach. It was the night of Pesach. In the same way that it happened on Pesach, there was this miraculous plague which occurred, and everybody died in the same moment. It is what actually happened is less relevant to the fact that it did happen. And this is ultimately the miracle which has been prophesied and actually occurs. Focusing on the end of the parak for a quick moment, why did the sons of Sennacherib kill him? There was a split in the kingdom, and one of the younger brothers killed the rest of the brothers and took the kingdom. Why did they kill Sennacherib? So part of it is, of course, he is just simply the fact that he is he lost in battle. But it seems that also Radak quotes a very fascinating agada that when he went back after losing to Israel, he realized that Israel must have had some sort of secret, so he looked into the annals of Jewish history and found out that they have a secret weapon, and that is that they served God through the Akedah. So he said, well, you know what? If it worked for them, maybe it'll work for me, and he proposed to sacrifice his children as a way of sort of getting more strength from the gods that he wanted to serve. Ultimately, his sons did not take to that so well and killed him ahead of time, which was the part of the plot of destruction that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowing to happen. It is interesting to close this parak that when we do have the writings of in the annals of Sennacherib, although it is he does not mention his loss, the kings do not like to mention these kind of things, there is a description about during this period of time where, translated into English, he describes how he has shut up as a prisoner in Yerushalayim, in his royal residence, like a bird in a cage, referring to Chizkiyahu. Meaning to say, the way it is ka'oif b'kluv, like a bird in its cage. That's how Chizkiyahu is to Sennacherib. Yeshayahu's response to such a arrogant statement is what we learned just a few days ago in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Hey, which is Kitzipurim Afois, like birds flying free, Kein yogein Hashem tzavakois al Yerushalayim. So too will Hashem, the God of legions, protect Yerushalayim. And that's exactly what happens. Don't think in your arrogance that you can talk about who owns Jerusalem and who's locked in Jerusalem when your entire army will die on the spur of the moment. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and ultimately this miracle stands us instead for knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always protect us and Yerushalayim. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.